Today on Jay Sekulow Live, the American Center for Law and Justice will represent you and your family for free.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And when we say the ACLJ will represent your family, you should share this, folks, right now. If you are watching on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends and family. Click this button now. You might have seen some of my interview on Fox News on a Sunday with Steve Hilton on The Next Revolution. We talked about these school closures and what can parents do who need maybe financial assistance so that there's students who might be at home now trying to do virtual learning, if that's a possibility, or special needs. What if they don't have internet connectivity? What about the two meals that are provided? What if they don't have a car to go pick up those two meals, even if that's how the school's doing it, and they rely on the school bus system? So you think about all the different things people rely on and that we pay for our tax dollars so that people have, including those that are in the toughest neighborhoods, those who are in the toughest economic situation. Who's going to take care of these children at home when they have two working parents or a single parent that has to work when they don't have school that they can usually rely on for 9 months or more out of the year for the, you know, 8 a.m. till or earlier till sometimes 5 p.m. with the after school programs that are available.
Let me tell you what we're not talking about, though, also. We're not talking about filing lawsuits to force local school districts to open. We're not going that we're not getting into. Parents, that's a political decision that they make as the school, as the elected school board. But what we're talking about is a civil rights issue, and that is with schools taking various, and I know this is affecting my own grandkids. I mean, Jordan and Logan's children are my grandchildren. It affects all of us. And what kind of accommodations, you know, for us, I don't have to worry about whether I have internet connectivity or whether my grandkids are getting fed or whether their books and resources are going to be available to them. We have the means to do that. A lot of people do not. And we're going to get into that. And what we've already received requests from 18 states where we would start dialogues. This isn't threats of litigation. Now, some things can end up in litigation, but these aren't threats of litigation. This is, how is the school district going to accommodate parents and the children, particularly to help the children under a changing medical situation with the coronavirus? And I think we have to be thinking out of the box. We're having to think out of the box as lawyers, but I also think school districts need to be thinking out of the box as well. I know, Than, you sent me a memo yesterday that in Washington, where things looked like they were settling down a bit, it looks like it's ticking back up. That means delays in schools openings. That's why we've got to be creative and think out of the box.
Got to be creative, Jay, and a lot of these decisions are made on a local level, but it doesn't mean that everything in Washington, D.C. is irrelevant here. In fact, I think one of the things that we have to be creative about is talking to Washington, D.C. about how to spend the $68 billion that comes from the federal government down to states and local school districts to implement these decisions. Right now, Jay, those come with all sorts of federal strings that really should be irrelevant during this pandemic. We need to find ways for those dollars, those $68 billion, to be repurposed in a fashion that gives parents more choice for their children so that come the start of the school season, Jay, no matter what that looks like, the children actually get an education rather than states just scrambling to comply with federal mandates. So while much of this is on a local level, Jay, there are certainly things that can be done at a federal level to free up those localities as well.
We have already heard from hundreds of people because of my appearance on Fox News on Sunday. Now we want to let you know, if you believe that you need this assistance as a parent, you've got a financial situation, you already know that your school's going to be delayed or virtual learning, you don't know how that's going to work, and you need assistance and you need representation, go to aclj.org/help. You put your information in there and you'll be contacted by an ACLJ attorney and get through the information. We are ready to assist you as these schools begin to make these decisions or lack of decisions. Go to aclj.org/help if you believe your child needs that assistance.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. We want to let everybody know this initiative we're working on. We talked about the school choice initiative. As I said on Fox News, and I'll be back on Sunday night with Steve Hilton at 9 p.m. Eastern Time to talk about this. School choice is great and vouchers are great, but we're facing a situation right now where there might not actually be school, so you're doing it virtually. And are those vouchers that are not in a lot of states that don't have those, does money need to be getting back and resources need to be getting back to parents so that families who live in homes that don't have internet access, that don't have the technology, that don't have anyone to take care of their kids, that can't afford it, that both parents have to work, that don't have vehicles, that use public transportation and the school buses, and school is, of course, important to educate their child, but it's also where their child gets two meals a day. And a lot of schools, almost all public schools, offer those longer programs for working parents so that it's basically 7 in the morning till 5 p.m. at night.
What we're talking about really, in one sense, is very basic. It's a reallocation of resources. For instance, if a school does have a tuition credit or a voucher program, if a particular state does, and we know the schools are not going to be able to go back as they were, can you then redirect that voucher so the parents can do direct aid, get internet connectivity, or does the school district provide the computer, or are the meals delivered by the buses that would normally be picking up the students? I mean, there's a lot of creativity that can go into this. We're in a very unusual time in our country, and this is how we meet the needs of our brothers and sisters, and we need to be thinking out of the box. I've got Andy Economo, senior counsel for the ACLJ, on the phone, and also Professor Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy. Let me go to Andy first. Andy, you and I have resolved a lot of issues, a lot of cases at city councils and at school boards. They're not hostile usually. It's negotiations. And what we're talking about here is the ability to reallocate resources to meet the actual needs of parents in an actual situation that is evolving.
That's exactly right, Jay. I have, for several years, I represented the Fayette County Board of Education, which is a county south of Atlanta, and I have appeared before city councils, city commissions, county commissions with you in matters such as this. These are political decisions that elected officials have to make in the best interest of the students. That's the main thing. And we have got to convince them through negotiation, through reason, through rational analysis and talk that they've got to do the best thing for the students, provide the lunches, provide the facilities that parents do not have. As we mentioned, not everybody's got a computer in their home today. Not everybody's got the ability to do distance learning. There are many people who both of the parents have to work. We have to deal with the children. And the way that you approach this is through subtle negotiations and through rational dialogue with the boards of education. Believe me, the boards that I have dealt with are very sensitive to the students' needs, and we at ACLJ have worked with them. We have the expertise to do that, and we will continue to do that in the future.
We've already heard from literally, I think, 18 states and well over 250 families, where I'm sure we're going to hear from more. I want to know what your experience in your local school district, too, so call us at 800-684-3110. Now, I want to get Professor Harry Hutchison on the phone, on the broadcast now, because, Harry, you, in a meeting that we had, talked about concerns of the way education is now going to be delivered, the impact this can have on the inner city, but not just the inner city. I mean, two working home families where the parents both work, and this is going to have. Listen, and we're in a whole new world here. I mean, we don't even know what's coming tomorrow on this. And you had some really creative ideas, but we need to be. I kept telling everybody in our meetings, we need to be thinking outside the box to be able to offer help.
Jay, I think you are absolutely correct. The failure to provide assistance to disadvantaged kids and the failure to ensure sufficient resources are available prepares minority kids for failure. And it is clear that even when schools operate properly, that educational gaps occur to the disadvantage of many children. The problem is that many school districts have been captured and become captive to progressive left-wing unions. And one of the things that we have discovered in our research is that school choice programs, including public charter schools, continue to educate poor and minority children very well. Yet outrageously, public teachers' unions have successfully sought to shut down public charter school virtual learning, online learning programs. And so the governor of Oregon has issued an order shutting down all public charter schools, including virtual public charter schools. So what we have is an outrageous disparity that in terms of education, that is getting worse and worse through remote learning and because schools are being shut down.
You know, Harry, we launched the School Choice Initiative just a few weeks ago, and obviously it's an issue we've worked on for decades at the ACLJ, but we really believed it's a civil rights issue of our time because, again, these kids and the way this is how you kind of start out in life, and if you have a good basis, a good education, you have a much better chance of having a good life. And instead of it being the few who come out of a bad zip code and are successful, it could be the majority who become, you know, middle class and don't have the issues and get real educations and are able to get good jobs. And we just launched a few weeks ago, already over 70,000 people are already on a petition for that. And I think it directly ties into this initiative that we're working on now, because when we're back to schools being open and COVID is done, you know, school choice is still going to be a big topic and the voucher program, a big issue and fighting for that. But this directly ties into it because education, as we've talked about, Harry, has to be student focused. This idea that it's all about the teachers and the teachers' unions and not the kids is the wrong focus.
Absolutely. So I think if you look at the number of African Americans in professional, technical, and similar high-level occupations, the number of those individuals more than doubled between 1954 and 1964. These results are cataloged in Thomas Sowell's book, The Economics and Politics of Race and International Perspective. And those results signify that educational achievement, rather than the simple passage of anti-discrimination law, is the most decisive factor leading to economic advancement for members of minority groups. Sowell shows that by 1980, college-educated black couples were earning more than college-educated white couples. And yet, left-wing teachers' unions continue to attempt to block school choice, which provides better graduation results, better skills, and greater safety, and greater parent satisfaction. So we have a huge problem in the United States, and one of our political parties has been captured by left-wing public school teachers' unions, and this provides an enormous disadvantage to minority kids located largely in urban areas.
Let me, I appreciate that, Harry. Let me bring Andy back into this because I want people to understand what we're talking about. And Andy, what we're really talking about here is the ability to go in to school boards and present cohesive, coherent arguments for reallocation. We're not demanding that they reopen. We're not demanding on how they do it. What we will be seeking is accommodations to meet the needs of these students, and it's best done at the school board level.
That's right, Jay. As Harry said, it is the school board that is the main buffer between the parent, the teacher, the student, and the public. And our goal ultimately is to educate that student, to educate and give that student every opportunity at education that we possibly can. We don't at ACLJ, we don't and we never have gone blustering in to a school board, making demands and making outrageous statements about we want this and we want that. We realize the sensitivity that has to be explored with these school boards, and we understand that the main object is to teach the child in an appropriate fashion, whatever the learning capacity, capability, incapacity, inability of the child is. We have to do that, and we have to do it in a rational way, and we at ACLJ have done that, you and I, through the years. As I said, I've represented a Board of Education in the metropolitan Atlanta area. I understand the interplay between the students, the parents, the teachers, and the board members. It's very important that we progress in our initiative.
All right, folks, when we come back, we'll get to start taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Remember, if you believe that you're a parent or a guardian of a child who is going to need this kind of assistance, because of what the school is planning, what you've already heard from your school about, whether it's delays, whether it's virtual learning, and it's childcare concerns, it's technological concerns, it's the food and the meal concerns, go to aclj.org/help, fill out that information, and we will be in touch with you. We will represent you for free. Again, if you're in that situation, go to aclj.org/help. And if you can support the work of the ACLJ, donate online. That's how we can do it this for free at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're going to get right back to this issue where we are ready to just announce to you all that if you need this assistance, if your school, if you're a parent or a guardian of a child and your school is not going to be open because of COVID-19, or you've got a special needs child and that school is hasn't figured out what they're going to be doing yet, or they've announced it's going to try to be virtual, but how is that going to work? And maybe you're in a financial situation where who's going to be taking care of your child if they're not going to school and you can't afford child care? And what about those meals they receive at school, at least two meals a day? And remember, for a lot of folks, this school, you can at least plan for the 9 months out of the year that you have school from about 7 a.m. when or 7:30 when the bus comes till as late as 5 or 6 o'clock at night if you do the later school programs. And if that's not going to be happening, you know, the school districts need to be taking care and making adequate, because they get taxpayer, you know, they're funded both by the federal government, but in the state government, the local government, they need to be taking care of you and making sure your child stays on track. If you believe you need assistance and you already know you're in that kind of situation, we want you to go to aclj.org/help. That's aclj.org/help. It's just a quick online form you fill out. Then you'll be contacted by an ACLJ attorney. Remember, none of this costs you anything. And if we do move forward in representing you, whether it's before a school board or any other way, that does not cost you. These services are provided for free. That's how we're able to do this at the ACLJ, because of our donors, because of those of you who financially support the work of the ACLJ. And this is a great time to do it, because we're in a matching challenge month. And at aclj.org, what does that mean? A matching challenge month means we have donors that have said we will match every donation that comes in to the ACLJ through the month of July. Every donation. So what has to happen, though, is that they match the donations that come in. So they only make the match if you make the initial donation. You can donate online today at aclj.org. It's how we can offer these legal services absolutely free to already hundreds of families who contacted us just because of my interview on Fox News on Sunday. Literally hundreds from at least right now, as our count, 18 different states. But it's also because of your financial support that we can do this legal representation for free. And think about this. People are getting the same attorneys who represent the President of the United States. Okay, they're getting the same attorneys who represent the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, before the highest court, before the U.S. Supreme Court, in an impeachment trial before the U.S. Senate. And these families can get those same attorneys at no cost because of your financial support, because of those of you who are financially able to support the work of the ACLJ. This is the month to do it. It's why we can say to all the people listening right now, the hundreds that we've already heard from and probably the thousands that we'll now hear from today at aclj.org/help, that we can do this for you at no cost to you is because of the donors who do financially support the work of the ACLJ. And Dad, it's the same reason why yesterday we were able to file in federal court in California representing three churches at no cost to those churches because of that singing and chanting ban put in place by Gavin Newsom.
So we are in federal court right now on those, actually. We're waiting for a date for the temporary restraining order. We have challenged a ban on singing and chanting, no matter what the size of the sanctuary. You could literally have a sanctuary that seats 5,000 people. You can't have more than 100. We didn't challenge that, but if those 100 are there and they're seated 100 yards apart, you can't have anybody chant. And Andy, as you said yesterday, to take chanting and singing out of the worship experience violates the Constitution so clearly.
It does, and not only it violates the Constitution's freedom of religion and the establishment with respect to religion clause of our United States Constitution. Our church, our Christian church, is founded on the idea of raising your voice to the Lord. As the Psalms have said, come let us sing for joy to the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord all my life. sing to him in praise. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. Those are from the Old Testament, psalmus in Greek, which means psalms, which means chanting. And those are the things that we are are an integral part of the services of our church, of our liturgy, of the presentations that we make in worship to God. We make it through song and through chant, and we make it even in the worst of times, Jay.
Yeah.
When Paul and Silas were in jail, they started singing hymns to God, it says in Acts, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And in all his letters, Paul keeps saying, sing with your spirit, sing with your understanding. If you're in trouble, sing. If you are happy, sing. Speak to one another in psalms. How can the state of California come to the Christian religion, the ancient faith of our fathers, and gut the church literally by saying, you cannot sing, you cannot chant in church?
They can't.
This must stop.
I mean, Harry, they can't constitutionally. This is not a reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions. It's not the least restrictive means. It's a ban.
Absolutely. So in Lemon versus Kurtzman, a test that many of us have expressed some doubts about, the Supreme Court basically outlawed any program that requires excessive government entanglement in religion. And it is clear beyond question that California's move to ban singing and chanting requires excessive government entanglement in religion. Will Governor Newsom of California be able to go into a church and say that constitutes singing? That is absolutely absurd on its face. It violates the Constitution. It violates the free exercise clause. And this must stop, and stop immediately.
I'm going to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110, before we get to our second half hour. I think this is an important call to take now. Michelle in Ohio on line 5. Michelle, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, glad to be here. I want to encourage all the parents to reach out for your help. They need it, because I needed your help in 2005 with a school system that was going to hold my daughter back, was having an art teacher leading Eastern mysticism prayers and art class. And your organization came in, and my daughter should have failed fifth grade, but with an IEP, she's now in college. And
that's,
I just
great,
want everyone to support you, because it was all free, and I asked you twice for help. And I've signed a petition for about the ban on California, so I support your group 100%.
Listen, Michelle, I really appreciate you calling in. And you know what makes a difference here? That was in, what you said, 2005, and now your daughter's graduated college. I mean, this is exactly why we exist. And we had a couple of stories. I think we had one yesterday from 1992 or 1990. And it's, so again, this is what it's all about. And in these times of uncertainty, this is when you engage.
Absolutely.
Especially, you always engage, but especially now.
Absolutely. So two things here. On the singing in church, if you want to sign that petition, over 237,000 people have. That's at aclj.org. If you believe that you are a parent of a child in school that needs assistance, go to aclj.org/help. Fill out that form, and we will be in touch with you. Again, we offer these services absolutely free, and we can do that because of those of you who financially support us at the American Center for Law and Justice. It's how we do the legal work. It's also how we do this broadcast. If you donate in the month of July, it's a matching challenge month. You double the impact of your donation. Donate today if you're financially able to at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And what we're launching today, and I talked about it on Fox News last Sunday, and I'll be back on with Steve Hilton on The Next Revolution this Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time as well. And it was, you know, what can parents do who are figuring, you know, finding out that school is being canceled, and how are this virtual learning going to happen? Are schools being delayed? And if they don't have the financial resources to, again, provide for their students, even if there's a virtual learning. Let's say you give these parents, you know, hey, here's an iPad. Well, what about the internet connectivity? What if you don't have good cell service? Is the school going to provide that? Is the school board going to provide that? What about the meals? And what if they say, well, you can come pick up the meals? What if you don't have transportation? You rely on public transportation, or you rely on school buses for your children. Who's going to be watching these kids? If they are in a single-parent home where the parents got to work, or in a two-parent home where both parents have to work, which is common too, who is going to be watching them where they're supposed to be virtually learning at home? All of this technology that they're supposed to be putting in place, meals. And of course, remember, people rely on this because we all pay our taxes to provide this to everyone in the United States of America, every child in the United States of America. And most of these schools also offer after-school programs, yep, so that parents who work can come, so that their kids can stay later and in a safe environment.
There's also a federal question here. I want to go to Fan on this because the federal government provides a lot of money to school boards. Has there been any discussion yet among members of the House or Senate about allocating? I know they've talked about not giving money to schools that are for like security resource officers if the schools are closed. I get that, but where's that money being reallocated? Has the Department of Education sought any comments, or are they looking at, I mean, everybody's got to be creative and thinking out of the box right now.
Yeah, Secretary DeVos has actually been very forward-thinking on this, Jay, much in line with what she advocates as far as school choice goes. She advocates something very similar to the proposals that we have made. But look, I actually think that the Congress needs to re-engage on this. And let me drill down just for a minute. I talked a minute ago about the $68 billion that comes from the federal government. But, Jay, about $23 billion of that is what is called Title I dollars. And one of the primary purposes of those dollars is supposed to support the needs of low-income students. So you think about what Jordan was just talking about, how this pandemic presents all sorts of new challenges for those low-income students. Jay, I think it's time for the Congress to pass a piece of legislation. There's one that exists. It's called the A-Plus Act. It's put forward by Congressman Walker and Senator Daines that says a state can take those $23 billion and use it for purposes that is consistent with their state strategy to meet those needs. Jay, you talked about how the needs are going to be different in different localities. Well, what if a high COVID jurisdiction like Washington, D.C., and a low COVID jurisdiction like, say, Montana, they would have to meet the same requirements for those $23 billion. That makes no sense, Jay. The Congress should go in and give the states the flexibility to reallocate those dollars to meet the kind of needs that Jordan is talking about. So I think Secretary DeVos is ahead of the Congress on this one. But, Jay, we're pushing Congress to catch up. And I would tell you that I think the A-Plus Act is a good place to start.
Well, listen, this is exactly what we're talking about. These are the kind of creative, out-of-the-box things you need to be thinking of, the implementation of that to help parents. That's the idea here.
Yeah, exactly. And so, folks, again, if you're in I believe you're in this situation with your children, if you're a guardian of children, go to aclj.org/help. And we are ready to assist you, aclj.org/help. We're taking your phone calls. If you've got questions, too, about your situation right now, this is a great time to ask us. 1-800-684-3110. We're taking your calls. That's 1-800-684-3110. And of course, yesterday we filed in federal court representing three churches against California's ban on singing at church. They're actually telling churches how they can worship. That doesn't sound constitutional, does it? We are in federal court. And 270,000 of you signed that petition at aclj.org. But we need your financial support as well so we can do all this work and represent these clients at no cost. If you can donate, great time to do it. Matching Challenge Month, aclj.org. Donate online.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We've also had some questions come in on Facebook and Periscope. We're going to get to those, but I want to go right to Dwayne's call. Call him from Maine on line 6. Dwayne, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I'll be quick. I have two questions. The daycares make this sound like this is being politicized with the schools because their daycares are full and they've had no issues. And being a news junkie, I've heard nothing on the news about an issue with a daycare, which tells me that the kids should be in school because daycares are packed full.
Well, let me say this, okay? I think we got to be very careful to make generalized statements about daycares because there have been outbreaks in daycare centers. Now, kids are less likely to have symptoms of the disease or even get the disease. That's what the medicine seems to show. But they can be carriers. So, look, I understand what you're saying, Dwayne, but we're not getting into the position of telling the school district, you got to open or we're filing a lawsuit to make you open, because that's just not practical. What we are talking about is, and I'm going to go to Harry and Andy on this, is, and go to Andy first, specific allocations, what Than talked about earlier, of resources to meet the needs of the students.
That's exactly right, Jay. What we do is we try to establish a rapport with the school boards that what they need to do is allocate their resources for the best interests of the student, because that's what the school boards are all about. And I have found them to be, in many instances, if they haven't been tainted by the leftist progressives, to be otherwise very reasonable in their reaction. And that's the kind of thing that we plan to do as people, parents, grandparents call us and ask for our assistance. We go in and we try to negotiate reasonable restrictions, reasonable provisions for students and the allocation of resources. You get a lot more by talking in a reasonable, reasoned way, in a logical way, in a diplomatic way, than you do by screaming and yelling and being demanding. And that's the way we have achieved success in the past, and we're going to achieve it in the future.
All right, Harry, let me talk to you about, you talked about yesterday this kind of separate but unequal aspect of all of this. Explain that.
Well, sure. So one of the issues is whether or not resources are equally divided, particularly if you look at a state as a whole. So, for instance, if you look at the city of Detroit, it is located in the state of Michigan, And the city of Detroit receives approximately $15,000 per child for education. However, many of those resources are actually not being delivered to educate the child. So one of the things that we are very, very interested in is helping parents make sure that the resources that they need, whether or not it's internet service, computer accessibility, tablet accessibility, et cetera, whether or not those, trying to make sure those things are made available so that if indeed a school system is shut down, that learning can continue. Because if that's not the case, this will prepare particularly minority students for failure. And that was one of the issues that came up in Brown versus Board of Education in 1954 with respect to separate but quote unquote equal. In reality, it was separate but unequal. And one of the big problems we have today is that left-wing school districts routinely perpetuate educational disparity. And so what we're interested in at the ACLJ is working with parents to ensure that school boards hear what the parents have to say, but also that school boards come up with creative solutions that reduce the level of disparity and educational failure.
So I think what Terry's telling you, and he's writing on this too, by the way, so this is important for everybody to understand. And if you look at what Andy said, Jordan said, and Fana said, we have got to be thinking outside the mainstream, outside the box. And Dan, I want to go back to Washington. I mean, I know your August is about to come, recess, but the Department of Education is trying to think outside the box, and I think school boards are going to be receptive to thinking outside the box. The needs that need to be met here are the needs of the kids, which also impact, obviously, their parents.
Well, and listen, as Congress returns to town next week to, you know, consider an additional stimulus package, this needs to be a part of the conversation, Jay. I mean, I would start by just building very practically on what Harry said. I mean, the issues are going to be different in every school district. We've been able to navigate those waters before. It's going to depend on the COVID cases in the community. It's going to depend on the resources in the community. Ultimately, it should depend on the needs of the student. But Jay, as the Department of Education looks at this and as Congress looks at this, one of the things that they've got to understand, and I know Secretary DeVos does, but I'm not seeing this penetrate in the Congress yet, is those local school boards, Jay, even if they want to do the right thing, they do not have authority over all of the dollars that are available to them. Of course, they have authority on the local tax dollars and most of the state dollars. But Jay, the $23 billion that comes through Title I from the federal government, they cannot decide how to allocate them. They come with federal strings. And look, I'm always generally opposed to that. But in a pandemic, when children might not be able to go into a schoolhouse, you have to adjust. You have to give the localities that flexibility. And quite frankly, it needs to happen very quickly.
So this just broke out of New York. The New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is announcing a plan. This is interesting. This is kind of what we're talking about here when we're representing you. Now, some places are doing this on their own. But again, when you see the numbers and you think about how many kids are in the New York school system, it's still just a very small percent. But he's announcing a plan to provide childcare for 100,000 New York City children in the fall. They'll use community centers as well and organizations, libraries, and other spaces to set up care. The number of spots, he said, could increase. The city's going to offer this care for kids who cannot attend school full-time in the fall. There's going to be a mix of in-person and remote learning. Yep. When the new school year starts, students are only going to go to school 1 to 3 days a week because of the buildings and preventing the spread of COVID. The mayor has rolled out plans to expand the city-sponsored child care program. So it's right now it's 100,000 children from preschool to eighth grade will have a place to go on their days off. But here's the catch. There are 1.1 million students in New York City's public school system, the largest school system in the nation. So, yes, that's a start.
It is a good start.
But that's 100,000 out of 1.1 million.
But this is what we're talking about, and we are available to work with you and your school board to offer solutions and ideas. I mean, we've got a director of policy. You've been hearing from him, Harry Hutchison. We have lawyers that have dealt with school boards for decades. I have. Andy has. We're working at a federal level with FAN at the same time. We've got, you know, the various legal teams here evaluating the requests that have come in. So all of that's happening simultaneously. And I think everybody's going to have to be thinking out of the box. Let's go ahead and take Nancy's call.
Yeah, Nancy's calling from California online too. Nancy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, gentlemen. Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am in a district where our county has not yet decided. I think it's going to decide either today or Monday on whether or not they'll stay open. The problem that I have is they sent the survey out, you know, offering three different options.
Yep.
And I honestly feel it's all about the Benjamins with them. It has nothing to do with anything else. It's, they're talking about you have an option to homeschool your child under the name of our school district. And so that way they still get to collect the money, but we're doing the teaching ourselves.
Right. Look, I think these school districts are trying to, and they're saying they're going to decide today, which you understand could mean in 2 weeks they have a completely different plan. I saw some on like the college football thing. The SEC yesterday said, we're evaluating it. We would like to open. We know, probably fans can't get there. And then the last thing he said was, the reality is probably will not happen. I mean, this is what so this is what Jordan just said. It like what de Blasio is doing, I rarely agree with on anything, is at least thinking out of, he's thinking, okay, we got to do something here because you can't have 1.1 million kids at home by themselves.
Yeah. So, and I think
we got to figure this out.
And I think that issue,
the
too.
The United States has to figure this out.
They're looking at the pre-K to eighth grade because they're kind of thinking, you know, if you're ninth grade or older, you probably can be at home and do virtual learning if they're able to provide that for people. They've still got to, but they've still got a lot to work through. But at least they're beginning to work through this. I mean, they're realizing the situation that they're in. And we all, you know, we want to be continuous to be clear here. We're not saying, hey, we're going to go to federal court or state court to try and force schools to reopen the schools. That's not our position here. It's that if the schools decide they cannot be open, they've got, as Stan talked about, they've got the federal resources, of course, the millions and billions of state resources, local resources, to figure out and use creative plans to take care of these kids and make sure they continue to receive the education that is their right. It is their right. And we have decided to make it a right in the United States of America. So we all pay towards it, whether we have kids in the public schools or not, because it is a right to get that education through high school in the United States of America. If you need help with this, we're ready to represent you at no cost, aclj.org/help. Fill out the form. And if you can support the work of the ACLJ so we can continue to do this for all these folks, donate online at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We've got a couple great questions that have come through on Facebook and Periscope, so I want to go to those. Daniel on Facebook wrote in, would this apply at the university level too, or is it just public schools? And when we talk about public schools, we mean, you know, like, is it pre-K public or schools to, you know, kindergarten through high school, or would it apply at a university level?
So, you know, Harry, you've taught at the university level. I have too. Andy has also. So three of us have university experience. It's very different, Harry, when it's the university involved, where you have basically a contract. Although a lot of those are doing online education as an alternative because they've got no choice. But it's different than that when you're dealing with public under what I would call, you know, elementary schools, high schools, preschools. Harry?
I think that's precisely correct. So with respect to elementary and secondary education, as Jordan points out, that is a right under our system of governance. And we are all mandated to pay taxes in order to support public education. At the university level, whether or not a particular student goes to a particular school is generally left up to that particular individual. And so individuals could, for instance, decide not to go to a public education institution, such as George Mason University, where I taught at years and years ago. So the differences are very, very stark. And at each university, the rules are set generally by the Board of Trustees or the Board of Governors or visitors, depending on the institution. And universities, recognizing that they do not have a captive audience, are much more willing to look to think outside of the box in order to provide sufficient educational resources. Plus, universities have an economic incentive. They are looking for tuition. So, for instance, Harvard, Princeton, and a number of other upscale private institutions, they're going to charge full tuition for online teaching. And so it's clear that they are going to try to accommodate their students.
Yeah.
Public elementary and secondary schools are less willing to think outside of the box.
Yeah, and much more difficult. Andy, let's quickly talk about when we talk about going before a school board. Obviously, it's done virtually now. Obviously, it's going to be done in correspondence and probably phone calls. And what we're asking for on a case-by-case basis will be accommodations to be made to serve the interests of those kids.
That's the ultimate goal, Jay. The ultimate goal is to serve the student, the child who is in school to learn, and we approach the school boards in a reasonable, logical fashion, as we always do, giving them the options that we have come up with, that the parents need to have as to how to educate these children. Virtual learning, online learning, distance learning, all these things have come into vogue because of this pandemic, and we have to be able, as we have said time and again on this program, to think in novel and creative ways outside of the box as to how to accommodate the children. And that's the way that we present these plans to the boards of education, in a reasonable, logical way that makes sense to them, that makes sense for the students. And that's what we have been doing in the ACLJ for years. And we ask parents and grandparents and those who have a concern for children and who have not been given good responses from the school boards or definitive statements from the school boards as to what they're going to do, to call us and let us know, to reach us and let us know so that we can work with them in that regard.
You know, we've got another question coming in. And again, if you feel like you're a parent who needs this assistance, aclj.org/help. That's aclj.org/help. You go there, fill out the quick online form, and you'll be an ACLJ attorney will be in touch with you to figure out what kind of assistance we can provide if you feel like you're in this kind of situation with your student. Andrew wrote in on Facebook, school attendance is mandatory, right? So shouldn't we be able to have confidence that education will be adequately provided?
Now, here's the problem. It is mandatory, but what the problem is these school districts, and you got to be sympathetic to the school districts, are facing something we've never experienced in our lifetimes, and that we haven't experienced since 1918 with the Spanish flu epidemic, and now you've got a much bigger populace. So I think we shouldn't think that we just have confidence that it will all work out. You can't put your head in the sand here. I think parents need to be engaging the school systems now. I know Fan in Washington, they're hearing from a lot of parents, but like in your school districts, in your metro area, what's it kind of a day-by-day thing to see what happens?
Yeah, it's a hodgepodge. I mean, different school districts are doing different things. And look, I mean, I think we're sympathetic to the fact that school districts are in a difficult place. I would say the silver lining, though, Jay, and I think this has been the case here in this region, is I think school boards are receptive to hearing input from interested parents and interested parties. That's why we're engaging it in this way. And of course, the work here in Washington, D.C., Jay, there's another layer. But I mean, Secretary DeVos is trying to offer tax credits to states to have some school choice. We talked about the flexibility that the federal government could provide. The other thing, Jay, that I think should happen right away is some parents have 529 plans, which are used for higher education. Recently, it's been expanded to K through 12, but you can't use it for educational expenses. Well, parents that have a 529 plan, Jay, they ought to be allowed to use it to buy the iPad that Jordan's talking about. Is that going to help everybody? No, but if you overlay a lot of these ideas together, you can get answers to a lot of different parents situated in a lot of different situations.
Yeah, I think that's exactly correct, and I think that's being smart, and like you said, using educational savings accounts now. Not waiting until they're college, but now saying to provide the additional needs that might be available or might be needed for a particular student. We've got another great question coming in from Gloria.
Yeah, Gloria on Facebook writes, and do you think that, quote, thinking outside the box may mean the school boards need to be flexible on a case-by-case basis? Absolutely. I mean, every city and every county school board, every district is different. They're different demographically. They're different economically. Here's one thing they all have in common. Millions of dollars of resources. Millions of dollars of resources. So they can be creative on a case-by-case basis. And when we say case-by-case basis, they probably have a number of students that are in one case and a number of students who are in another case. So it's not like it's not like even that they'd have to go one by one by one, because you know that in the school district you're going to have so many kids who are in this economic situation, so many kids who this is the problem for, so many kids who need special needs programs, okay? So you could figure it out kind of like that. You see what New York is trying to do in just New York City, which is the largest school district in the country, with 1.1 million. Their first attempt is trying to figure out pre-K through 8th grade, 100,000 out of what is 1.1 million total students in the school system. So they're trying to be creative. Now, some people might, again, they've acknowledged they will have to do more. But there's also going to be questions, Dad. I know this will be something we can talk about next week, too, is what's interesting to me about New York's plan is they're not opening the school, but they're going to have the kids at a bunch of facilities.
You know, we just got a text on that. Well. Yeah, so what is that? You're not going to open the school, so you're going to open up other facilities to do what?
They're all going to go to the library. Why are they not going to the school?
I think they're trying to think out of the box, but they need to be thinking while they're thinking out of the box.
Yes, and I think
we'll get into that next week.
Exactly. So, folks, if you believe you're a parent of a child, or you're a guardian of a child who need this kind of assistance from us at the ACLJ, go to aclj.org/help. Fill out the form. It's absolutely free. Our representation is free. aclj.org/help. If you can support our work so that we can continue to do this for free for people, donate online at aclj.org. We'll talk to you next week.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.